you, praise team. Won't you take your seats for just a moment? We are at war. This past week, the Supreme Court handed down a momentous decision overturning Roe versus Wade. A legal decision, a precedent that was set in 1973 that's cost the lives of 63 million plus unborn children in America. We're at war. Those who oppose that decision blame the church. Christians, who else? It's your fault that the Supreme Court handed down this decision. So we've received reports from the FBI this week that there are credible threats against churches and clinics that support women who do not want to get an abortion. We're at war. I want to convince you of two things this morning. I'm going to tell you what one of them is right now. I want to convince you that you are actually at war. Because I'm looking at folks, and I am certain there are some among us who absolutely do not believe that. And if you don't believe you're at war, then everything I'm getting ready to say about spiritual armor makes absolutely no sense. If you're not at war, what do you need a weapon for? Why do you need to be prepared for an attack? I'd love to be able to convince one person listening today who does not believe when they came in this morning that we're at war. I'd like to convince you that you are. Because if you are not convinced that you're at war, you will not prepare yourself for battle. You don't go to a Jaguars game dressed out in a football uniform, do you? Because you're going to a Jaguars game to watch a war on the field. And there's a better than average chance that one of those linemen is not going to run up in the stands and hit you. And so you dress comfortably when you come to the ball game. You don't armor up, but if you're going to be on the field, you put your pads on. You put your uniform on. Christians walk into the war all the time, and we're not convinced that there's really an enemy. We're not convinced that there's really a battle. And you're not convinced that you and your family are right in the middle of it. And so we walk into being victims because we're not prepared. You are at war. What's happening with this abortion issue? We're seeing it getting worked out on a physical plane. It is a spiritual battle. There's life and death at stake. It's a spiritual war that's happening in a place we can't see, but it gets worked out in the world that we do see, and in the realm of politics, and in the realm of where we live our lives. You're at war. And I want you to understand, it's not a harmless thing. This is not just a sermon theme that you can put in your notebook and go, okay, well, there's that. I want to convince you. I don't want to make you paranoid. I don't want to scare you. I just want you to be ready. And what we're saying about the spiritual armor, I want it to make sense. Will you go, oh, yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. If I'm at war, I want to know what these things are. I want to know how to put them on. I want to know how to use them. And my hopes are, that's what we're going to be able to do together. We've been at Ephesians chapter 6 for the past few weeks. We're going to go back there this morning. Let me read for us in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10, and then we're going to pray. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10, that finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Let me say this again. The enemy is not the person, is not the people who oppose the decision that the Supreme Court just handed down. That's not the enemy. The enemy is in an unseen place. And we can get mad at people around us if we want to. That's not the point. And they are not the enemy, but they are being manipulated by an unseen enemy. And that's where the war needs to be fought, the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore. You're hearing a theme resounding. Stand, 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 stand. Stand firm, stand fast. Having done all, stand. Therefore, stand, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. And to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. In fact, I would ask you to pray that over me right now as I preach. That verse. Right now. For I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Let me pray for us. Father, right now, we are first of all incredibly grateful for the courage of the Supreme Court this past week in passing their decision to overturn legalized abortion throughout our nation. We have subsidized, we have allowed, we have even blessed as a government the death of 63 million unborn children. And Father, it is enough. We pray and thank you that the tide has been turned in this war against the unborn in our nation. And I pray this morning as a people, Lord, that we would continue to stand on what we know is right, as your word teaches us. But that you would also give us courage, Father, as Paul calls this day that we are in, and it is certainly true, we are in the evil day. And I pray that you will help us to have the courage to understand we are at war. And we must be warriors in this battle, not spectators on the sidelines. And I pray that you will speak to our hearts this morning, Father, those who maybe just walking in a time of defeat or discouragement or just been knocked off their feet by certain situations in their life. And I pray that you will give encouragement to them. Help us to encourage one another today as we meet together and tonight. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. And thank you, Father, for the victory of this week. In Jesus' name we pray. God's people said, amen. Good shoes are important, aren't they? Ask Forrest Gump. He'll tell you. Good shoes are important. How many of you remember, you know, shoes kind of define you. How many of you remember that you're old enough, you're my age, you remember Red Ball Jets? Who remembers Red Ball Jets tennis shoes? Anybody? Am I the oldest person in the room? There's only like three of us. 1951, Red Ball Jets tennis shoes came out. They made you jump higher, run faster, and stop you on a dime. They were made with jet age rubber, so you could run as fast as a jet flies. And if you had red ball jets, you made it. You were at the top of the social rung among guys. All right? Red ball jets. Now they just make you broke. They're very expensive today. But back in my day, they were the supercharged shoe. You had those shoes, you were going to be able to take on the world. Women have all kinds of shoe brands. Jimmy Cho's. Is that right? I wouldn't know a Jimmy Cho from a Jimmy Fallon, but if you know, it's, you know, shoes are important. You know, we see that today what we're going to see is that having the right kind of footwear is vitally important, and it's a piece of our Christian's armor, and it's about having the right foundation for our feet, and that can mean the difference in victory or defeat in spiritual warfare. The American colonial army came close to losing the Revolutionary War because they didn't have footwear. If you've read the history, you understand they were wrapping their feet in rags in the winter to fight the war with the British. The Revolutionary War, they almost lost because the men kept losing their feet to frostbite. It's amazing to think that such an important war was almost lost because of inadequate footwear. But if our footing isn't in the right place in spiritual warfare, we're also in danger of losing. Let me examine with us this next piece of armor. Let me take us back where we've been already. We've put on our belt of truth, all right? That is the place. That's God. You know, truth is God's truth. Whenever the Bible talks about truth, it's God's truth. It's truth as God sees it. It's unwavering. It is absolute. It doesn't change with the times. It doesn't change with the location. It doesn't change with the era that we're in. The truth is the truth, the breastplate of righteousness we put on to help us make right decisions based on the truth of God's word. And today we're going to be talking about the shoes, the readiness of the gospel of peace. So now we're going to talk about, number one, being rooted in the truth, rooted in the truth. John Wooden died at 99 years of age. This legendary basketball coach took the UCLA team to 10 championships in 12 years. And he did a lot of things right, but he started with this. Every season, he sat down with his team and he taught them one important lesson about basketball. He taught them how to tie their shoes. They all tied their shoes the same because he understood it didn't matter how high you could jump, how good your layup was, how much you could dunk a basketball if you couldn't keep shoes on. If your shoestrings were flopping around and some guy with big feet steps on your strings and makes you fall, tie your shoes, lace up your war boots. Maybe something like that's in mind here. It doesn't really matter how hard a punch you can throw as a boxer if you're laying on your back on the mat. And if the enemy can keep you off balance and falling backward and down on your back, you are useless in a battle. You're helpless as a warrior. Some of you have been knocked over by your circumstances. You came in today knocked over by your circumstances. You've lost your footing in your finances, or you've been knocked down by a situation in your family, or you've lost your footing as you've gotten your eyes on the future and you can't really see clearly and it's uncertain. And you've taken your eyes off the Lord. Maybe your health has knocked you down. Let me say again, you've lost your footing. As the old song says, you're slip sliding away. You have to be able to stand in the battle. And so many Christians live their lives blown around and knocked around by every wind of doctrine. We need to know where we stand. Roman soldiers wore sandals in the battle, not Birkenstocks. They had these special sandals that had been customized with metal spikes driven through them. And those spikes dug into the ground and gripped the ground beneath the soldiers' feet. Alexander the Great, General Alexander the Great, was credited with inventing this ingenious device. And his armies could not be knocked down. He conquered the world. And it was because his armies were unstoppable. They had the right kind of footwear. We honor that today. Actually, if you wear cleats when you play baseball or softball or soccer or football, you can't take much of a hit in a sport if you can't stand up. You have to be able to withstand when you get hit. And folks, you're going to get hit. You already have. You've been hit. You get hit every day. You're going to get hit over and over and over and over and over again. You have to be able to stand. You have to be able to be rooted. And you have to be standing in the truth. If your footing isn't secure, you can't swing a bat, you can't swing a sword, you can't advance on the battlefield. So we are to have our feet prepared, shod, it says, prepared with the readiness of the gospel of peace. Secondly, we need to be grounded in the gospel. When we have our feet prepared, the Bible says, if you have your feet prepared with the gospel of peace, verse 15, that's what we're focusing on. This is a word that means to be established. To be established, to be grounded in something. We are grounded in the gospel of peace. And that verse tells us in the Bible that we are to be ready with the gospel of peace. And part of that means, number one, believe the gospel. All of it. Do you believe all the gospel? Okay. Yes, okay. We believe the gospel. Good, all of it. But you know, we could be like a friend. I had a friend who came to Christ at about the same time I did, 1974. We were the two worst people in the school that we were attending at that time. Our language was awful. Our lifestyle was terrible. But then we met Jesus over the same weekend in 1974. But there was a big difference in us. His understanding of what had happened to him was very different than mine. You see, his church taught him that Jesus died for his sins and covered all of his sins up until the moment of his conversion. But then it was up to him to maintain his salvation. And so he was continually having to get saved again over and over and over because he kept sinning. I did too. But my understanding of the gospel was a little bit more complete than his. Because I understood that Jesus didn't just die for my past. Jesus didn't just die to get me into heaven. Jesus died for my future, and Jesus died for my life now. And so I'm living the gospel now. I'm understanding it now. Well, he didn't have that understanding. He had half a gospel. And he was miserable. He lived in misery because of that. We have to believe the whole gospel, not just part of it, not just half of it. And then we have to, secondly, preach the gospel to ourselves, but we also, Peter says, we need to be ready to give an answer to those who ask us about the hope that's in us. We have to be ready. There needs to be a readiness in us to say, this is why I have peace. This is why I have hope. You know, I'm not downing having, you know, we kind of advocate you have some kind of a system to be able to share. But sometimes you just need to be able to stand face to face with somebody. You can't say, wait a minute, let me get my stuff out here and fold it all out and go, okay, now let me talk to you. Sometimes you just need to be ready to say, let me tell you what you need. Let me tell you how you do it. We have to be ready. We have to be ready to preach the gospel. This is not just my job. This is all of us need to be ready to do that. We need to be ready in season and out of season, Paul said. And third, we need to stand on the gospel. We need to believe the whole gospel. We need to preach the gospel, but we need to stand on the gospel. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. I will not apologize for the gospel. I will not apologize for the fact that the gospel is exclusive. That if you do not believe the gospel, you will not go to heaven. That if Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation, there is nobody else, there is no other way, there's no other religion, there's no other moral avenue that you can pursue, you will end up in death if you do not follow Jesus. That's what the Bible says. I don't apologize for that. I'm not going to shrink back from what God says. I'm not going to bow. I'm not going to surrender the truth. We stand ready with the gospel. On Christ, what do we sing? The old song? On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Third, we need to be stabilized in God's peace, finally. It says in the book of Romans, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. How beautiful are the feet. In 596 AD, a battle was fought on the plains of Marathon, Greece. It was a battle that the Persian army was invading Greece, and their desire was to take the city of Athens captive. And there were battles being fought on the plains of Marathon, Greece. Well, the army of Greece defeated the Persian king, and when the news of the battle broke, the king sent a runner back to Athens. They wanted the people of Athens to know that the battle had been won and they were safe. So they sent this guy named Pheidippides. Say that one with me. Pheidippides. That was really his name. Pheidippides had this message, this unbelievably good news. It was called the euangelion, the good news, the evangel, the good news. He had this good news to go back and tell the city of Athens, you're at peace. You are safe. You are going to be fine. Everything's okay. The armies of Persia have been defeated. He ran across the plains of Marathon, 26 miles, arrived in the presence of the people of Athens, announced his message, and died. He was the first marathon runner. True story. When you run a marathon, you're running it in honor of Pheidippides. You are remembering his sacrifice, his 26-mile run with the gospel of peace. As a Christian, you do the same thing. You run with the gospel. How long do you run? Till you die. You run till you drop. That's how it works. You run with the gospel. You take the gospel with you as you go. We're couriers. We're messengers of the gospel of peace. That's all we are now. The war's won. We don't work for victory. We work out of victory. We work from victory. We are victorious. We need to go proclaim to the world that the King who created them is at peace with them now, and they can have peace with God through Jesus Christ. That's your job. That is your assignment. That is your role. You are to be a courier carrying that message with you. We run to the, why do we go to the nations? Why do we send missionaries? Why do we put people on planes and send them overseas and some of them never come back? Why do we do that? Because they need to know that the King is no longer at war with them. That peace has been made. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We have peace with God through Jesus Christ. You have that message embedded in you if you're a Christian. You are now to run with it and let others know that message. We have the peace of God that comes with a relationship through Jesus Christ. But this is a peace that comes, folks, independently of our circumstances. The Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. It's interesting that we are to have peace in the midst of the battle. We don't have peace because we're sitting on the sidelines on vacation. We have peace while we are fighting the battle. We have peace while we are fighting the battle. In the midst of this battle, we are to have on our shoes that bring us peace. They bring us peace. They stabilize us in the battle. The word peace means calm and tranquility. Let me ask you an honest question this morning. Do you have calm and tranquility right now? Now look at me. I've already told you you're at war. So I've already messed with your calm and tranquility. If you believe me, you know, okay, well, now I'm at war. Now what am I supposed to do? Well, now you're supposed to be at peace. Wait a minute, how do I do that? Okay, can I be really straight with you? This is the second thing I wanted you to know today. The rest of the stuff, you can forget everything I've said, except that first statement, you're at war. And this one. I want you to know how to have peace. I want you to know how to have peace in the midst of the war. This is how you win. This is what vexes and baffles your enemies. They don't get it. Now listen to me. You're going to try to solve the struggles and stresses and problems of your life in one of two ways. You're going to reach out around you in the world of your senses and try to figure things out in that way. That's how you're going to try to do it. You're going to try. You have a physical problem. What are you going to try to do? You're going to try to find a physical solution to your physical problem. And you know what? It was your physical problem that caused you the problem to begin with. So what happens? You are now in this vicious cycle of having the stress, of having these issues, reaching out around you for the things that you can see, feel, touch, taste, handle, and hear. And you wonder why this isn't working. Well, it's because you're not going to the root of the issue. You see, the peace that you can have is not going to be found in the physical world that you're interacting with. It is going to be found, and it is already, Christian, listen to me. We've already told you, we told you a few weeks ago. You are already seated in Christ Jesus in heaven. You are seated in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. Every blessing that God has ever promised is available to you. It's already there. You just got to figure out how to get to it. But you're not going to get to it reaching for a physical solution. Do you know, why fish don't stress when there's a storm at sea? Do you know why they don't get nervous? They don't have an early warning system for fish to say, hey, there's a storm coming, you better watch out. They don't have that. You know, a storm at sea will go down 25, 30 feet maybe in the water. It'll trouble the water to a certain depth. But what happens when you get below that depth? What happens? Anybody ever been down that far? What's going on down there during a storm? Nothing. It's perfectly calm. Perfectly calm. Oh, it's wonderful. So what do fish do in a hurricane? They just dive down until it gets calm. They don't go to the surface to say, oh, what are we going to do up here? Uh-uh. They go down. Why don't you have peace? Because you're not going down. You're not diving down into the spirit, into the invisible part of you to find the solution. You're looking up in a world around you that's gotten you in trouble to begin with. And then you go, I can't find the solution. Well, there's none up there. There's a storm up there. Why do you want to go there? You go deep. You dive deep into God. Into the things of God, into the truth of God. If you really believe the truth of God, if you really accept that God is speaking the truth to you, go deep. How deep do I go, Pastor? Till you find it. How deep do I have to dive? Till you find it. Because there's calm down there waiting for you. There's the promise of God. What does he promise you? He promises he will give you a peace that passes all understanding. that will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Well, I don't have that peace. You're on the surface. Go low. Go deep into the promises of God. And that's where your peace is. And that's where you fight from. That is not, you don't fight from the chaos. You fight from the peace. You are strengthened by that peace. You are stabilized by that peace. And the shoes that you're wearing will help you find that stability. Preparation of the gospel of peace. Let me quit. Father, thank you. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for your word. And thank you for its power. I pray today, Lord, that you will help us to find the peace that passes understanding, that is ours through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Help us, Lord, to know how to walk in the power of your Spirit, in the promise of your Spirit, in the gospel of peace, that we might have stability, that we might be grounded in the evil day. We stand, Lord, we are battered and we are hit all the time, but I pray you will help us not to be knocked down by the efforts to destroy us and to discourage us. But may we stand in the peace that you give us through Jesus Christ our Lord. For it is in his name that we pray. And friend, listen, if you do not have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, if you have never found that peace by trusting him and him alone as your salvation, by coming to Jesus, not just to cover heaven, not just to get you into heaven when you die, but to help you live your life right now. Help us, Father. Help those hearts that are ready right now to come to you and draw them by your Spirit, we pray, in Jesus' name. Let's stand together. You come as God leads you.